So let's pick up Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Got a lot to do today. Tanur Rabbanon, Chav Zayin Amud Beis. It's about four lines up from where it gets wide. Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Yes, it is that far up on the page. It's Tanur Rabbanon. Ma'aseh b'Talmud Echad Shebalifnei Rabbi Yoshua. There was an episode of a Talmud who came before Rabbi Yoshua. Amar Lei Tfilas Arvis Rishus Ochova. And he asked Rabbi Yoshua, is my riv a rishus? Is it optional or is it obligatory? So if you remember again, yesterday we began to see this machlokes already about the nature of tefillas my riv, if it's optional or if it's obligatory. So now the Gemara tells the Maisa, remember Rabbi Yoshua is the Av Beis Din. He is the head of the court, and we're going to see in just a moment that Rabbi Gamliel is the Nasi. This is already talking about post-destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, actually not post, but in the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, where the Sanhedrin has already moved from Yerushalayim to Yavne. Rabbi Gamliel is the Nasi, Rabbi Yoshua is the Av Beis Din. So the Talmud comes from Rabbi Yoshua, is Ma'arav Rishus Rechova? Rabbi Yoshua says Rishus, Balifnei Rabbi Gamliel, Amalei Tfilas Arvis Rishus Rechova, Amalei Chova. The same student came before Rabbi Gamliel and says, tell me, is Ma'arav Rishus, or is it obligatory? And Rabbi Gamliel responded, it's obligatory. Amalei V'halo Rabbi Yoshua, Amalei Rishus. Aye, so the Talmud says, but Rabbi Yoshua told me it's a Rishus. Now remember, just in the hierarchy, the Nasi was higher than the Av Beis Din. So now this particular Talmud just told the Nasi, Rabbi Gamliel, who just told him that Ma'ariv is a Chova, that Rabbi Yoshua said it was a Rishus. Amarle, so Rabbi Gamliel responded to the student, Hamtin Achi Kanes Palitris in the Beis HaMedrash. Wait until Palitris literally means the shield bearers. That's a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim, who hold the shield of Torah. So wait until the Rabbanim gather in the Beis Medrash, and we'll discuss it. Tfilas Arvis Rishus Achova. So now all the rabbis are assembled, and the Shoel and the student asks, "Is my Rishus Achova?" Amarli Rabbi Gamliel Chova. Amarli Rabbi Gamliel Chachamim Klum Yesh Adam Shecholik B'Davrezeh. So Rabbi Gamliel said it's a Chova, and then he asked, is there anyone who disagrees with this? Amarli Rabbi Yoshua Lav. And Rabbi Yoshua said, no, there is no one who disagrees with this. Amarli, V'halo Mishmecha Amruli Roshos. I, Rabbi Gamliel, says, Rabbi Yoshua, it's been reported to me in your name that you hold that Ma'ariv is Roshos. Amarli, Rabbi Gamliel, says, Rabbi Yoshua, Yoshua, Amod Araglecha V'yaidu Becha. Yoshua, stand up on your feet and they will testify against you. That meaning literally that the student who asked you and whom you responded that Ma'ariv is a Roshos will tell everybody assembled that indeed is your position. Amod Rabbi Yoshua Araglava Amar. Rabbi Yoshua stood up and he said the following. If I were alive and the student were dead, could the living contradict the dead? And now that I'm alive and he's alive, how can the living contradict the living? So obviously Rabbi Yeshua says essentially, you got me, okay. So Rabbi Gamliel left Rabbi Yoshua standing. So Rabbi Gamliel goes on to teach, to give the shir, and Rabbi Yoshua is still standing on his feet. As obviously Rabbi Yoshua is being humiliated because he's left standing in front of the entire olam. Until everybody assembled said to, we can't allow this to go on. And therefore they said to Chutzpah Satorgimon, now remember, the way it used to work is that the Nasi, when he was dashing, when he was giving the shir, he would speak. But remember, people, interestingly enough, that, you know, oratory ability wasn't part of the job description for being the Nasi. What was necessary was knowledge, because you had someone called a Torgamon who essentially would take your statements and craft it in a way that perhaps was more digestible or more pleasing to the general populace. So here you have Chutzpis HaTorgamon who's continuing to. So the people said to Chutzpis, stop, we can't let this go on anymore, and Chutzpis stopped. So the Gemara says the following. So the rabbi said, Ad kama natrei v'nezel, how long are we going to let Rabbi Yehoshua be humiliated? How long can we let this go on? Rosh Hashanah ishtaki tzare. So you remember again, there's the famous Maaseh in Mishnah Rosh Hashanah where there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Gamliel regarding Kiddush HaChodesh, regarding a particular episode where witnesses came and testified about the new month. Rabbi Yehoshua said there's no way that they really saw the new moon. Rabbi Gamliel accepted their testimony, and Rabbi Gamliel commanded Rabbi Yehoshua to show up with his staff and his money bag on the day on which, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, would have been his Yom Kippur. Because remember, because they disagreed on the witnesses, their calculation of the month was a day apart. So he forces Rabbi Yehoshua to show up on Rabbi Yehoshua's Yom Kippur as a sign of showing deference to the Nasi, to Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Yehoshua did it. Similarly, there was the episode with Maaseh Rabbi Tzadok. There was the episode also with Rabbi Tzadok, as Rashi points out, an episode in Bechoros. So the Gemara says, Hachen Nami Tzare. So essentially, the rabbis say to them, they're speaking with each other, saying, you know, how long can we let Rabbi Yehoshua be humiliated by Rabbi Gamliel? It's not right. So what do we have to do? Tan v'na'avre. We must replace Rabbi Gamliel. We are removing Rabbi Gamliel from his position as the Nasi. We're going to replace him. So man nokim, like, who should we replace him with? Nukmei Rabbi Yehoshua ba ma'isahaba. So if you're going to say we should put in Rabbi Yehoshua, that's difficult. Why? Because Rabbi Yehoshua is a party to the conflict. So we don't want to put in a party to the conflict into the position. Nukmei Rabbi Akiva. So if you'll say, well, let's put in Rabbi Akiva. Dilma anishle, the less late schos avos. Perhaps Rabbi Gamliel will punish him. Now, what that means is, Rabbi Akiva didn't have schos avos. Why didn't Rabbi Akiva have schos avos? Because Rabbi Akiva came from a totally anonymous family, right? He didn't come from a family of rabbanim. He didn't come from a family of distinguished people. He came from a family of peasants. So he doesn't have schos avos. So the Gemara says, Elo nukmei Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Rather, who should we go ahead and establish as the nasi? Let's choose Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Why? Dahava chacham. He's smart, he's rich, and he's 10th generation to Ezra. So the Gemara says, Hu chacham di makshi le mefarik. He's smart, because if you ask him a question, he can answer it. He's rich, and that if he needs to go to the Caesar to appeal for the Jewish people, he can do so. And he's 10th generation to Ezra, and therefore he has chosavos. And therefore Rabbi Gamliel will, so to speak, have no ability to bring down heavenly punishment upon him. So the Gemara says, so they came to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and they offered him the job. Would you like to be the Rosh Yeshiva? Not really the Rashiv, but really the Nasi, but they called it Reish Masifta. Amar Luhu, Ezel Ve'imlach Ba'an Shebesi. So what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria say? Let me ask my wife. Azil Ve'imlach Bedvisu. So what happens? He goes in and he goes to ask his wife. So listen to this profound feminine insight. See, so he says, Amar Luhu, she said to him, Dilma Ma'avrin Lacha. She said to him, but one second, they're going to remove you also. You know, in general, Klal Gadol in communities is that communities that remove their leaders, right? So communities that dispose of their leaders, generally that's not a one-time thing. That speaks a lot about the nature of a community. So his wife says to him, look, you know, if they depose Rabbi Gamliel, they're going to depose you also. It's very nice they're offering you the job now they like you, but the moment they don't like you, they'll just throw you out. So look what he says. Amar lo, he said to her, "Lishtamish inish yom echad bekasa demurka ulamacha litbar." Sometimes it's beautiful to use. Sometimes it's great to use a beautiful piece of crystal one day, even if the next day it'll break. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says, "I have no misconceptions about the fact that right now I'm their friend, but they could turn on me on a dime and throw me away. But you know what? Right now the opportunity is here. So if the opportunity is here, I should take advantage to do something significant for Klal Yisrael, and the future will be the future." Amrulay, she said to him, "Les loch chiyurta." She said to him, "You have no gray hair. You have no gray hair." In other words, what she was also saying to him is, people generally don't respect youth. So how are you going to come in here as a young man and command the respect of people who are much older than you? So the Gemara says, "Hahu yoma bar timni sari shani hava." Amazing enough, we know that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria was 18 years old on that day. So it's just amazing that you can imagine what an exceptional individual is that at 18 years old he was being asked to be the nasi of the Jewish people. So Israchish Lainisa, a miracle occurred. A miracle occurred that day. and he got 18 rows of gray hair. Hainu dekamar Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. This is what Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says, and we read this in the Haggadah. Hare ani kaben shivim shana. He said, I am like 70 years old, below ben shivim shana. And actually, not actually 70, so I have the appearance. So the Maharal in his commentary in this Gemara says, it's not a nace. He says, that's what happens when you accept upon yourself responsibility for the Jewish people. It turns you gray overnight. I'm sorry? No. This he was saying in general. No, actually, this actually comes from a totally different Mishnah. This is Harei Aneka Ben Shivim Shana Below Zachisi Shete Amar Yitzias Esrayim Balelos. He's actually talking about the mitzvah of reciting of remembering the Exodus at night. He just happens to use this formulation and says, "I'm like 70 years old." But this is not part of the conversation with his wife.
Why
a statement that.
Why 18? That's the month
for
each year. 18.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So Tana, Osa Yom Salku L'Shomer HaPesach. So we'll say that day, they took away the guard to the entranceway of the Beis Medrash. So V'nasna Lahem Roshus L'Talmidim Likanis, and they allowed people to come into the Beis Medrash. Why? Shai Rabbi Gamliel Machriz V'Omer Kol Tamid Shein Tocho Kibaro L'Likanis LeBeis Medrash. Rabbi Gamliel made a rule that any student whose inside was not like his outside should not come to the Beis Medrash. Or in other words, Rabbi Gamliel had exacting standards for who he allowed into the Beis Medrash. Only exceptionally genuine Torah scholars or Talmidei Chachamim were permitted to come in. Okay, how he gauged that, well, not for today. So, Kol Tal Mishayim Tocho Barakalo, you can't say Medrash. Hahu Yomba, so they, when they deposed Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria came on the scene, they took away the guard. O Siyom, I'm sorry. Hahu Yoma, I tosfu kama safsali. They added on a number of different benches. So they had so many more talmidim. They had to put in extra tables and chairs. Amar Rabbi Yochanan pligi ba Abba Yosef ben Dostoy b'Rabbanan. Sab Dostoy and Rabbanan argued. Chad Amar itosfa arba mea safsali. One said they added 400 benches that day. The Chad Amar sheva mea safsali. The other one said no, 700 benches. Havakachosha daite Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was very upset when he saw this. Why? Amar Dilma Chas v'Shama Manati Torah miYisrael. Rabbi Gamliel now was concerned because, again, he thought by stationing the guard over here, he was safeguarding the purity of Torah. But now when he saw hundreds upon hundreds of additional Talmidim, he had remorse. He said, maybe I've prevented all of these people from learning Torah. So the Gemara says, Achzulei Bechalme, Chatzbi Chiyuri Demalian Kitma. He saw in a dream, he had a dream, and in his dream, there were white pitchers filled with ash. Now the white pitchers filled with ash was supposed to symbolize the fact that the Talmidim who were coming were not really virtuous. They looked white on the outside but filled with ash on the inside, and therefore ultimately Rabbi Gamliel had done the right thing. So the Gemara says Velohi, but in reality he didn't do the right thing. Hahili Yisuve Daito Hu Da'achzulei. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Rabbi Gamliel to feel terrible over something that he could not change, and therefore showed him this dream to make him feel a little bit better. But in reality, his approach was wrong, and he should not have prevented people from coming into the Beis Medrash. So the Gemara says, Tana Edjos Bo Bayom Nishnis. So amazingly enough, that was a day that there was unmatched Torah learning, to the point that Masechta Edjos was compiled that day. If you remember, we've spoken about Edjos. Edjos is considered to be the most authoritative Masechta. That Edjos, you don't really have too much new information there. It's a compilation of all the machloksim throughout Shas, a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them, and where the Mishnais actually reach a conclusion about who we paskin like. So there was such clarity in learning of that day that Masechta Edjos was compiled. Furthermore, V'chol hecha da'arminan bo bayom ha'hu yom ha'ava. And any time in the Gemara when you see the phrase bo bayom, on that day they discussed, that day refers to the day that they removed the guard from the Beis Medrash. There was unfettered access into the Beis Medrash, and there was unsurpassed Torah learning. So the Gemara says, "V'lo haisa halacha shahaisa tli beBeis Medrash shelo pershua," and there was not one halacha that was left undecided or unexplained. The Afra b'Gamliel lomana asu beBeis Medrash afidu sha'achas. Amazingly enough, even Rabbi Gamliel, the deposed Nasi, still came to the Beis Medrash to learn. On that day, so the following situation occurred. Yehuda, who was an Ammonite ger, came in. Can I come into the congregation? Now, what does it mean, come into the congregation? Can I marry a Jewish woman? Can I marry a Jewish woman? Rabbi Gamliel said no. Rabbi Yoshua says, you are permitted to. Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yoshua, what are you talking about? The Torah explicitly says that an Ammonite and Moabite ger convert may not go ahead and marry into the assembly of God. Rabbi Yoshua said to Rabbi Gamliel, but are Ammon and Moab still actually the nations of Ammon and Moab? Meaning what he was saying was the following, that just because people live in the geographic areas of Ammon and Moab does not actually make them Ammon and Moab. How so? So the Gemara says, Kvar Ola Sancheirev Melech Ashur Ubil Bel Eskol Ha'umos. Because you know that Sancheirev, the king of Assyria, came along and mixed up all of the nations. Part of the way that he ensured that there would not be a revolt among the nations that he conquered was that he transplanted people from their indigenous lands into other places. So essentially, Yeshua says, all of the nations have been mixed up. Therefore, the biblical nation of Ammon and Moab essentially what? No longer exists. Therefore, there's no restriction on this Yehuda going ahead and converting. So the Gemara says, Shneemar, and he goes to the pasuk Shneemar, Va'asir gvulos amim, Va'athidosem shosti, Va'orid ka'aber yoshvim, V'chol deparish miru baparish. So here he quotes this pasuk over here from Yeshaya. And the pasuk from Yeshaya says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll go ahead. Ki amar bekoach yadi asisi, Obechachmasi ki nevunasi, Va'asir gvulos amim, Va'athidosem shosti, Va'orid ka'aber yoshvim. So ultimately, V'chol deparish miru baparish. And since all the nations have been mixed up, therefore when somebody comes to us, they come from the rove. And the overwhelming majority of people, how do you know, even if the nations were mixed up, maybe there's still a suffix that he's from Ammon or Moab. And the answer is, called the parish be Rube parish. That in a case where we don't have defined entities, when somebody comes to us, we assume they come from the majority. And the majority of people in this world are not from Ammon and Moab. Therefore, he's permitted to go ahead and convert. Marry in. Amrli Rabbi Gamliel, Valo kvar ne'emar, Va'achare kein oshiv eshevus b'nei Ammon u'mashem, u'kvar shavu. Ayes, Rabbi Gamliel says, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says that I will go ahead and return the remnant of Ammon. Amrli, which sounds like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will resettle Ammon in its indigenous land, and therefore we should consider this guy Yehuda like a real Ammonite. Amrli Rabbi Yeshua, Valo kvar ne'emar, V'shavti eshevus ani Yisrael. You know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu also said that I will return the remnant of the Jewish people. Va'adayin lo shavu. And we have not yet returned. Miyad hitiruhu lavo bekal. So at this point in time, Rabbi Gamliel realized that Rabbi Yeshua was correct, and they allowed this Yehuda to marry into the Jewish people. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Gamliel. Now, interestingly enough, apparently it was this episode that really opened Rabbi Gamliel's eyes to who Rabbi Yoshua really was. And that he realized that ultimately he had mistreated him all over all of these years. So what happened? Ezel va'afaisei l'Rabbi Yoshua. See, he said, you know what? I really have to go ask Rabbi Yoshua's. I have to ask his forgiveness. I mistreated him. I have to ask his forgiveness. Kimato lebeisei. So he went to Rabbi Yoshua's house. When he got to Rabbi Yoshua's house, chazinhu la'ashisa debeisei demeshachron. He saw that the walls of Rabbi Yoshua's home were black. Now that was a sign of extreme poverty. Now, why is it a sign of poverty? Because, amazingly enough, Rabbi Yoshua was a smith, was a blacksmith. So just you can imagine these things. Also, just as an aside, just a commercial break for a moment. You know, we think that we are exempted from becoming Talmidei Chachamim and from becoming Mitzvanim in Torah because we work, right? Because we have jobs, we have responsibilities. Guess what? Everybody works, right? And Rabbi Yoshua, the Av Beis Din of the Jewish people, was a blacksmith. So whatever he was doing, it was much more strenuous than medicine, accounting, and law. But he still went ahead and became the Nasi di Yisrael. So just the next time we think that we are excused because of our worldly responsibilities, Brachas Chaf Chasam Adalef. So Rabbi Gamliel comes along and he sees that the walls are black, indicating that Rabbi Yoshua is a smith, and also highlighting the incredible poverty of his home. So the Gemara, thank you. So the Gemara says, Armalei, right, Mikosu Yisecha Atani Koshep Chami Ato. So Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yoshua, I see from the walls of your home that you're a smith. And Rabbi Gamliel was surprised. Rabbi Gamliel was surprised. Apparently he had no idea that Rabbi Yoshua actually had engaged in such labor to support himself. Amar le oy lo, so Rabbi Yoshua responds, oy lo ledor sha'ata parnasos. Rabbi Yoshua now is very angry with Rabbi Gamliel. And he says, woe to the generation of which has you as a leader. She'i ato yodea b'tza'aran shal tamidi chachamim. That you don't understand the difficulties of tamidi chachamim. B'mahim esparnasim, how they support themselves. U'b'mahim nizonim. And how literally they feed themselves. So Rabbi Yoshua gave Rabbi Gamliel some significant mussar. And he said to him, what a failure of leadership that you don't understand the plight and the circumstances of your followers. Remember, Rabbi Gamliel himself was exceptionally wealthy, which the Nasi was supposed to be. But just because the Nasi was, he still had to understand the circumstances of the common man. So he said, how out of touch you are with the circumstances that we're living in. Aralo na'anesi lecha macholi. So Rabbi Gamliel said, I ask your mechila, forgive me. Lo ashkach bay. So Rabbi Yoshua would not pay attention to him. Rabbi Yoshua would not mochel him. So asay bishvil kvod abba. And he, Rabbi Gamliel begged him. He said, please do it in the honor of my father. So pious. See, he forgave him. Amru man nezo v'leimu lehulu rabbanon. This is interesting. Now, so Rabbi said, at this point in time, after Rabbi Yoshua had forgiven Rabbi Gamliel, both Rabbi Yoshua felt... Rabbi Yoshua felt that the best course of action would be if Rabbi Gamliel was reinstated to the position of the Nasi. Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel say, who's going to tell the rabbis that we've worked things out between us, and Rabbi Gamliel should be reinstated to the Nasius? So apparently this whole thing happened in front of a regular guy, a koves, a launderer of clothing, right? A launderer, and he saw this whole thing, and he said, I'll go tell the rabbis that you two guys have patched things up, and Rabbi Gamliel should be reinstated. So what happened? So Rabbi Yoshua sent the following message with the launderer to the base medrash. Man de lovish mada, yilbash mada. The one who wears the robe should wear the robe. Uman de lo lovish mada, the one who doesn't wear the robe. Yemar le man de lovish mada, should say to the one who doesn't wear the robe, should say to the one who does wear the robe, shalach madcha va'ana albashay, take off your robe and I'll wear it. The robe over here represents the Nasius, right? Represents the opposition of the Nasi. So the message that he sent back is, the one who wears the robe should continue to wear the robe. The Nasi, who was the Nasi, should continue to be the Nasi. Because the one who doesn't wear the robe, i.e. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, should not really tell the one who wears the robe, take off your robe and give me the robe. Which, again, we'll see where Rabbi Yoshua speaks in these types of terms, but essentially what he's saying is Rabbi Gamliel should be reinstated. So the Gemara says, Amar lehu Rabbi Akiva, Rabbanon, troku goli delolesu avde Rabbi Gamliel veletzaru l'Rabbanon. So the Gemara says the following. So Rabbi Akiva, when the message came in, Rabbi Akiva said, quickly close the doors so that we could deliberate this issue without being bothered by the servants of Rabbi Gamliel. Now, what they were afraid of was the following. It was very nice that Rabbi Yoshua went ahead and forgave Rabbi Gamliel and wanted Rabbi Gamliel reinstated as the Nasi. But now the Rabbanon had to decide themselves what in fact was the best course of action. So Rabbi Akiva therefore says, close the doors and let's deliberate on this a little bit. Let's discuss this a little bit. So what happens? So the Gemara says the following. Am Rabbi Yoshua, mutav de'ikom ve'izel ana legabaihu. So apparently Rabbi Yoshua heard that they closed the doors and that they were deliberating on this. Rabbi Yoshua felt compelled to go and address this matter himself. See, so he picks up, he says, I'm going to go talk to them. What happened? Asa taref ababa. He went and he knocked on the door. Right? This was a closed session. So he went and he knocked on the door. Amale. So again, he gives another mashal. Maze ben maze yaze. The sprinkler, the son of the sprinkler, should sprinkle. V'she'inu lo maze v'lo ben maze, and the one who doesn't sprinkle and is not the son of a sprinkler, yomer le maze ben maze me'mecha me'ma'ara ve'efarecha e'farmakla, should he say to the sprinkler, the son of the sprinkler, your water is cave water, and your ashes are ashes of a burnt log. So again, we'll say it's just another metaphor. This idea of the sprinkler, the son of the sprinkler, also refers to like the kahuna. So the idea over here that he's saying is we have to reinstate Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel is a Nasi, the son of a Nasi, this position is rightfully his, we patched things up, and he should be reinstated. And again, he's not disparaging Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah can't do a great job, but at the end of the day, Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, the son of the Nasi, and therefore he should do it. So the Gemara says, Amar li Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yoshua nispayasta. So he says, so Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Yoshua, we're happy to see that you have patched things up with Rabbi Gamliel. And you should just know, klum asinu ela bishvil kvodecha. Everything we did, we only did for you. Lemachar ani va'ata nashkim lepischo. So tomorrow you and I, meaning Rabbi Kiva saying to Rabbi Yoshua, you and I will go ahead and we'll go to the door of Rabbi Gamliel early in the morning, and we will ask him to resume his duties as the Nasi. So you must like this. Now both say, now we have a problem. What's the problem? What do you do with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Right. First of all, Nebuch, he just got all this gray hair. Right. So what? Right. So what are we supposed to do with him now? So the Gemara says, Amri Hechi Navid. What should we do with him? Navre. So if you say we should just take him out of the position, right? Just remove from the position. Gemiri Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'in Moridin. We can't do that. We can't do that because we have a principle, right? Wife was right. His wife was spot on, right? So at the end of the day, they didn't need him. Also, remember, at the end of the day, we're only useful as long as we're useful. So they didn't need him anymore. So what should we do? Ma'alim HaKodesh Ve'in Moridin. What are you going to do? You appointed him as Nasi. So once you appointed him as Nasi, you can't just relegate him to the status of a regular guy without cause. So Nidrosh Mar Chalashapsa Umar Chalashapsa Asi Liknuye. So if maybe we share the office of the Nasius, and Rabbi Gamliel will darshan on one shot, right? They'll switch off giving the drasha. Rabbi Gamliel will give it one Shabbos, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will give it another Shabbos. He can't do that because you know it's going to create tension. Ella, lidrosh Rabbi Gamliel tlasa shavsi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah chad shabsa. So what should we do? Rabbi Gamliel, who is the primary nasi, he'll give the drasha 3 Shabbosos out of the month, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will give the drasha once a month. So the Gemara says, behindu da amar mar Shabbos shall mi haisa sharab Elazar ben Azariah. So the Gemara says, that's how you'll see later. Sometimes the Gemara will ask Shabbos shall mi, whose week is it? So whose week is it is a reference to this particular setup where the Nasius was somewhat shared, even though it wasn't really shared, but Rabbi Gamliel was reinstated pretty much as the full Nasi, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had certain Nasi-like responsibilities in that he darshaned once a month. The Gemara says at the end, V'osa Talmud, by the way, who was the student who started this whole thing? Right? Remember, this whole thing started because someone asked Rabbi Yoshua Shabbat Ma'ariv, Rabbi Yoshua responded Rishus, and then he went back and he asked Rabbi Gamliel about Ma'ariv, and Rabbi Gamliel said, Echova. And that's how the whole thing started. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Hava. It says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So the Mashah points out, he says, why does the Gemara wait till here to tell us the name of the student? Because the Gemara waits until the story has a happy ending. So Baruch Hashem, all worked out well. Now that it all worked out well, by the way, the student was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Vishal Musafin Kalayom. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. So if you remember again, the Mishnah said according to Tanakama, thank you, Mishnah said according to Tanakama, that you could daven Musaf the entire day. Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'nikra poshea. But Rabbi Yochanan said that if you wait to daven Musaf until late into the day, you are considered to be negligent. Tan Rabbanan, hayu lefanav shtei tfilos, achas shel mincha v'achas shel Musaf. If a person had 2 tfilos in front of him, one of mincha, one of Musaf, meaning, so again, we actually spoke about this a little bit yesterday, but it's already later on into the day, you haven't yet daven Musaf, now you also have obligation to daven mincha, what should you do? So the Gemara says, Tanakhama says, mispalo shel mincha v'achar kach shel Musaf, shezu tadira, V'zu eino tadira. So the Tanakhama says you should daven mincha and then musaf. Why? Tadir v'sheno tadir kodim. Rabbi Huda Omer mispalos shal musaf achakach mispalos shal mincha. Rabbi Huda on the other hand says no, you daven musaf and then mincha. Why? Shezu mitzvah overes. V'zu mitzvah sheino overes. Because Rav Hosai, Musaf is a mitzvah overes. It has less time, right? Versus mincha, which has more time. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha mispalel shel mincha, ve'achakach mispalel shel musaf. Rabbi Yochanan passing that, no, whenever you have two tefillos in front of you, mincha and musaf, mincha goes first, because of tadir v'sheno tadir, tadir kodem. Rabbi Zeira, ki abachalish migir say, Rabbi Zeira, when he used to get tired from his learning, hava azil v'yosev ha-pischa debe Rabbi Nasan Bartuvi. He used to sit at the entrance where he had the yeshiva Rabbi Nasan Bartuvi. Why? Amar, ki chofi rabbanon az ekom mekamayu v'akabel igra. He says, this way, I'll sit by the entrance. Anyone tell me, come and pass by, I'll stand up, and I'll get reward for standing up. I'll say, just you understand what this means. Rabbi Zeira, even when he was too tired to learn, did not want to lose the opportunity to get schar. So my head's not in the learning right now. So what did he do? He'd take a break, he'd sit outside a little bit, and whenever Talmidei Chachamim would pass by, he would stand up, and he'd get schar for standing up.
That is more koach to learn than it does to stand up.
What? Correct. More koach to learn correctly than it does to stand up, 100%. So the Gemara says, Asa, Nafak Asa, Reb Nasan Bartuvi. So Reb Nasan Bartuvi came out. Amar Le Man Amar Halacha Be Midrasha. So Rabbi Zeira said to him, who taught Halacha in Beis Medrash today? So Amar Le Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Halacha Krabi Huda. Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Mispala Adam Shamosa Va'achakach Mispala Shamincha. The halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a person first davens Mosav and then davens Mincha. So Amrli Rabbi Yochanan. Amrli Rabbi Yochanan. Amrli in. So Rabbi Zeira said to Rabbi Nasan Bartuvi, and Rabbi Yochanan said this. He said yes. Tana mine arba'in zinnin. So interesting enough, Rabbi Zeira made Rabbi Nasan Bartuvi go over this ruling 40 times. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Rav Nasan Bartuvi was a little bit surprised. This isn't exactly the most complex of halachos. So why did Rabbi Zeira want to go over it 40 times? Amar Lei, Chada hilach or Chadas hilach? Chada means, is this new for you? Meaning, have you never heard this halacha before? And therefore, because it's new, you want to make sure you knew it? Or chados. Chados means you knew it, but you heard it ascribed to someone else. So Rabbi Zeira said, Amar Lei, chados hi. Rabbi Zeira said, I've heard it before, but I've heard it ascribed to someone else. Mishum de Mesafka li Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Because I always heard, or I thought, that this was the position of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now you're telling me indeed it was the position of Rabbi Yochanan, therefore I want to make sure that I have it straight in my mind. But I've also said, halacha lemaisa, interestingly enough, the bottom line is the same, which is technically speaking, when you have a conflict between mincha and musaf, mincha goes first, because of tadir v'sheno tadir, tadir kodem. That's why, interestingly enough, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that on Rosh Hashanah, we try to make sure that we begin musaf before the time for mincha gedola, in order that we not run into this conflict. Because technically speaking, if you're davening late, past the time for mincha gedola, you would technically speaking have to daven mincha before you daven musaf. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol ha-mispalel tefila shel musaf and la'achar sheva shos. Whoever davens musaf after 7 hours, the Rabbi Yehuda, alava kasuv omer, nugi mimoid asafti mimcha. Shavosai, whoever davens musaf after 7 hours, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can only daven musaf until when? Until 7 hours. So if you daven musaf after the elapsed time, so Rabbi Yehuda would apply the pasuk from Tzefanya, nuge mimoid asafti. What does that mean? My mashma, dahai nuge lishna de tavrahu. So according to this approach, the Gemara is explaining or translating the word nugi as tavra, something broken. So nuge mimoid asafti lecha, you've broken away from the appointed time. So the Gemara says, how do we know that nuge means something that's broken? Kedematargim Rav Yosef, tavra asi al sonen de Beis Yisrael, al da'achru zmane mo'adaya de Birushalayim. Because Rav Yosef used to understand this particular pasuk as saying that literally that they should... The enemies of the Jewish people is a euphemism for Jewish people who sin. for sinners. The sinners of the Jewish people should break apart because they delayed the times of the Yom Tovim in Yerushalayim. Whoever davened Shachris after 4 hours, according to Rabbi Huda, remember Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah says you can only daven Shachris till the fourth hour. Alava Kasuv Omer Nugi Mimoid Asafti Mimcha. My Mashma Dahai Nugi Lashon Detzarahu. So according to this approach, the Lashon of Nugi means suffering, that literally suffering should be visited upon those who break from the Moed. Dichsev Dalfa Nafshi Mituga. Ramacha Bayitzchak Aramehacha Bisuleha Nugos Vihi Mar Lo. So the Gemara says, Amadeis. Rav Avya Chalosh. Rav Avya was ill. Chalosh literally means he was weak. He was ill. Velo Asa Lepirka. And he didn't come to shir. Lo Asa Lepirka to Rabbi Yosef. He didn't come to Rabbi Yosef shir. Rabbi Yosef, Rashi points out that Rav Yosef was the Rosh Yeshiva in Pumpadisa, and he would go ahead and give the drasha on Shabbos before Musaf. Okay. And here's what's interesting. According to Rashi, the way it used to work was, they would daven Shachris in Shul. People would leave Shul, go to the Beis Medrash for a shir. This wasn't just a drasha, this was more a shir. And then after the shir, they'd go back to the Beis Medrash, they'd go back to Shul to daven Musaf. So Rav Avya didn't show up for the shir. So Rav Yosef was offended. Rav Yosef was upset. So Lamachar ki asa bo Abaye la anuchi daite de Rav Yosef. The next day Abaye sensed that Rav Yosef was upset. He wanted to put Rav Yosef at ease that the reason Rav Avya didn't come was not because he didn't want to hear the shir, but because he was sick. So he said to him, so now Abaye begins this discussion with Rav Avya in the earshot of Rav Yosef. Amalei, my time alo asa ma lepirka. Rav Avya, why didn't you come to shir? Amarle de have a chalish liboy. I wasn't feeling well. Velo matzina. Amarle amai lo ta'amta midi va'asis. Why didn't you eat something then? If you were faint, why didn't you eat something and then come? Amarle lo saver la mar la hod rav huna de amar rav huna asher lo adam shidam klum kodim shi yispal at filas amus sofin. Aye. So Rav Avya says to Abaye, do you not hold of the statement of rav huna who says that you're not allowed to eat anything before musaf? Listen to this. Savai says, well then you should have davened biyichidus. You should have davened at home, eaten something, and then come to shir. So also what's very interesting is according to Abai's perspective, actually Talmud Torah might be more important than tefillah b'tzibur, which we'll talk about that at a later time. Rav Avya says, but Abaye, you don't hold of the idea that you're not supposed to daven earlier than the tzibor. So Abaye says, no. That statement that you shouldn't daven earlier than the tzibor applies when you're davening with the tzibor. Or in other words, if you're davening with the tzibor, you shouldn't go ahead in your own personal tefillah and daven musaf before the tzibor davens musaf. But if you're davening biyichidus, you certainly can. V'les hilcha say, and the halacha doesn't follow, lo krav huna, v'lo krav Yeshua ben Levi. So we'll say, Abi Gemara says that the halacha doesn't follow Rav Huna, and doesn't, so Rav Huna's statement is that you're not allowed to eat something before you daven musaf. That's not true. You can eat something before you daven musaf. And the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Ki Rav Huna hada amran, Rav Huna's the statement we just said before, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kevan she'egiyaz man mincha asr lo adam she'yitom klum kodim she'yisbal tfilas amincha. We'll see this later on also, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that once the zman for mincha comes, you are not permitted to eat anything until you daven mincha. We don't hold of that position either. Okay, so the Gemara is like this. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana hayam ispal b'chim nesas l'beit ha-medrash. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana used to say daven the following when he entered into the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana used to daven a tefillah when he entered into the Beis Medrash. Ubi yitziyaso tefillah kitzara. And when he left the Beis Medrash, he would daven a short tefillah. Amru lo ma'amakom l'tefillazu. So the rabbi said to him, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, what's the meaning of this tefillah? Listen to this. Amru lehem b'chnisasi ani mispalel shlo ye'era davar takala al yodi. In the morning, I go ahead and daven that no obstacle should come about through me. Ubi yitziyasi ani nosin hoda achalki. And when I leave the Beis Medrash, I give thanks for my portion. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanim Bechnisasuma Omer, what was the tefillah of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana? It was, Yirasam Lofanacha Hashem Elokaim, should be your will, Hashem my God. Shul Ye'era Davar Takala Al Yadi, no obstacle should come about through my hand, Velo Akasha B'dvar Halacha, and I should not stumble in a matter of law, V'yismichu B'chaveirai, and my friends should rejoice over me, Velo Omer, or really, Velo Akasha B'dvar Halacha, V'yismichu B'chaveirai, my friends should not rejoice in my stumbling, and my friends should rejoice in my accomplishments, Velo Omer Al Tomei Tahor, Velo Al Tahor Tomei, I should not make an erroneous ruling, saying something that's tamei is tarzai is tarz tamei. But like kashlu chaveira b'tvar halacha ve'esmach bohem, and there shouldn't be a situation where my friends stumble in halacha and I rejoice over their stumbling. That's the tefillah that he would say when he would walk in. So I will suggest that you should know, in many versions of the Gemara, this tefillah of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is in the heaven after your title page. Right? So now they started printing it on the inside cover. But the truth is, in most Gemaras, they have this actual tefillah in the beginning. Thank you. Obi Yitzyaso. Obi Yitzyaso Mao Omer. What about when he left the base Medrash? What tefillah would he say? So the Gemara says the following. I'm sorry. Moda ani v'fanecha Hashem Elokai. I thank you, Hashem. Shesam dechal kimiyoshe beis medrash, shesam dechal kimiyoshe kronos. That you made me a dweller of the beis medrash and not someone who dwells in the corners. That's what the people used to waste their time with, hanging out in the corners. Shani mashkim, he mashkim. I wake up and they wake up. Ani mashkim l'divrei Torah. I wake up to Torah. V'he mashkim l'dvar metilim. They wake up to do nothingness. Ani amel v'him amelim. I toil, they toil. I toil and receive reward. And they toil and don't receive reward. I run and they run. I run to the world to come. And they run to the well of destruction. So also again, you'll also find that that's the tefillos of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana have become established as the tefillos that we say as we enter into the basement in the morning and we leave. And what we say when we leave. Tana Rabbanan. When Rabbi Eliezer got sick, his talmidim came in to be mevaker chola. Amru lo Rabbeinu lamdenu archos chayim v'niske b'hen l'chayi ha'olam haba. See here, Rabbi Eliezer, when we say chala usually doesn't just mean a little sick. Chala usually means deathbed sick. So they come to Rabbi Eliezer and say, Rabbi, teach us how to live properly in this world so that we can merit lichtcha gan Eden, we can merit olam haba. Amar Lahem, listen to this advice. Hizaru bekavod chaverechem. Be careful with the honor of your friends. Umanu b'nechem min ha'igayos. Listen to this. And prevent your children from... Higayon literally means contemplation. Rashi points out and says, it means over here, don't let your kids learn too much Tanakh. Why? He says, what's the pshat? He says, because Tanakh is very alluring because it's stories. But a person also must put an emphasis on oral law, on Torah Shebaal Peh as well, because it's Torah Shebaal Peh that teaches us how to live. So make sure that your children's spiritual diet does not just consist of Tanakh. Make sure they're learning Gemara. Make sure that you place them literally between the knees of Torah scholars, which is another way of saying it's not just enough to learn Torah, but you have to have a constant exposure to great people. And when you daven, know before whom you stand. And as a result of this, you will merit a portion of the world to come. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got sick and was going to die. Nichnesu talmidav levakro. His students came in to visit him. Kevan shera osam. When he saw them, hischil livkos. He began to cry. Amru lo talmidav ner Yisrael am amud hayemini patish hachazok. So his students said to him, light of Israel, the strong pillar. Amud hayemini literally means the right pillar. Patish hachazok, the strong hammer, which were all accolades of Yochanan ben Zakkai to talk about his greatness. Mipnei ma'ata bocha. So the students were a little bit amazed that their Rebbe was crying. Why are you crying? So he said to them, If I was being taken in front of a king of flesh and blood, Shayom kan umachar bekeber, that today is here, tomorrow is in the grave. Shim kois alei in kaso kas olam, that if he gets angry at me, his anger will not be eternal. This human king, if he puts me in jail, if he confines me, so that confinement, that incarceration is not eternal. If he executes me, the execution, the death is not eternal. I could try to buy him off with words, and bribe him with money. I would cry, because I'd be scared of being brought in front of the king. But now I'm about to be brought in front of God, the King of Kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shuchai v'kayim uli olam uli omei olamim. God is eternal. Shim kois alai kaso olam. Shim kois alai kaso kaso olam. If he gets angry at me, his anger could go on for eternity. V'mosrani isura olam. And if he incarcerates me, that incarceration can be for eternity. V'mimisani misasim misas olam. And if he chooses to kill me, to take my life, he could keep me dead for all eternity. V'eini yachol lefaiso b'dvarim. And I can't go ahead and, you know, buy him off with words. V'loshachto b'mamon. I can't bribe him with money. V'od. Shvelo od. Ela shiyesh lefonai shnei drachim. And there are two paths in front of me. Achos shel gan eden v'achos shel gehenom. One of gan eden, one of gehenom. V'eini yodea v'ezem olichin osi. And as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I don't know which path I am going to be taken on. V'lo efke. And should I not cry? Amru lo rabbeinu barchinu. So his student said to him, Rebbe, give us a bracha. Listen to this bracha. Amar lahem yiratzon, shetehi mora shamayim aleichem, kimora basar vadam. The bracha I give you is that you should fear God as much as you fear man. Amar lo tamidav atkan. So the students were surprised by his bracha. Rebbe, that's it, right? That's the best you got, right? That's the greatest bracha, that we should fear God as much as we fear man. Amar lahem hulavai. He said, halavai, right? Halavai. You should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as you fear man. He says, Teidu, Kishe Adam over Aveira Omer, Shelo Yirani Adam. What do people do? So the truth is, what people are most concerned about are what they do in sight of other people. Right? The person says, I'll commit an Aveira as long as no one sees it. So Halavai, you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as you fear. As much as you fear man. The story ends. B'shas petirasa amar lahem, p'nu kelim mipnei atuma. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai realized that he was about to die. And so he says, remove all of the vessels from the home, because once he was going to die, there was going to be tumas ohel. Tumas ohel would have then gone on all of the kelim that were in the home. And therefore he says, p'nu kala kelim, remove all of the kelim. Nothing should become tamei. Ve'achinu kisei l'chizkiyo melech Yehuda sheba. And prepare a chair for Chizkiyo, the king of Yehuda, who's coming to escort me. So why Chizkiyo? Whether it's because Chizkiyo comes to every dead person, or perhaps more probably the Marashah brings down that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a direct descendant of King Chizkiyo. So he felt that the spirit of Chizkiyo was going to come to escort his neshama to din before the Ribbono shel Olam. All right, well, so we'll stop over here.